I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be another Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Well, we will be thinking thoughts about how we can improve our brain power this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7.5 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 10th. So are you forgetting things more and more these days? Are you concerned you're losing your smarts? Are you worried about keeping your brain sharp as you grow older? Well, I hope you'll stay with us as we talk with the author of Boost Your Brain Power. And you join in with your questions and maybe your experiences at 1-800-642-1234. What do you do to boost your brain power? You can also send us an email, talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm happy to welcome in Dr. Marie Pasinski. She is author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Boost Your Brain Power. You can improve and energize your brain at any age. She is a Harvard Medical School neurologist, a writer, and a speaker. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks very much for being with us. You know, I'm going to be very honest here. I am forgetting things more than I used to. I have to have a grocery list now. I didn't used to have a grocery list. Is all lost for me?
Absolutely not. And that's the whole message of the book, is that there are things we can do to keep our brain healthy and improve our memory. Well, one of the most common causes of memory problems as we get older is simply that we don't challenge our minds. We don't challenge our memory. You know, think of when you're young and you're constantly, you know, you're in school, you're constantly learning new information, meeting new people, going new places. Your brain is just being immersed with all this new information. And that stimulates memory.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about how our memory works and then what we can do to better our memory.
Mm-hmm. So in order to remember something, you have to recruit new brain cells in a new circuit. And the more you think along that circuit, the stronger it becomes. And over time, it becomes a memory. And, you know, there are things we can do to strengthen our memory by simply, you know, really, really exercising it more and using it more. You know, as we get older, we tend to, you know, rely on our cell phones, you know, especially in this digital age. A lot of things we used to commit to memory, we now no longer do.
That's right. A telephone number. Somebody will ask me for someone's telephone number, and I have to go look in my cell phone to see what it is.
Mm-hmm. And so simple things like that, memorizing phone numbers, trying to memorize your grocery list. And by learning new things, taking up a new activity or a new pursuit, you're learning new information. And all of that can make your memory better. One of the things I love about the book is there are various stories about people who've tried new activities and found that it actually made their memory better. For example, there's one story about a woman who took up improv acting, and she found that having to think on her feet and really challenge her mind stimulated her memory.
Oh, what a great idea. So she actually was brave enough to be in an improv class.
Yeah.
I'd have to get over my stage fright. Why do I remember a phone number from my childhood? I remember the phone number that we had in the house that I was growing up, and I don't remember, you know, my sister's phone number today.
Mm-hmm. And that has to do with repetition. So the more you've repeated information over time, the stronger that memory becomes. So old memories, from long ago, we used to write, you know, we would have to recite those numbers over and over again, and so they're kind of more deeply etched in our brain.
Mm-hmm. Just because we use them more often than the current things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are some signs, though, that, you know, if I forget bread at the store when I went to the store to get bread, is that a warning signal that I don't know, could be possibly getting signs of dementia?
No. It's really common to, you know, forget things as we get older. As we get older, our memory, you know, isn't quite as sharp as it used to be. It's good to challenge it. But the important thing is that you don't forget, you know, really important information. So I don't worry about little glitches like, you know, forgetting where you park your car, phone numbers, things like that. But what is more concerning is when people, you know, have trouble remembering how to do things that they used to be able to do, where they start to have difficulty, you know, at work, performing their job. Those are signs of more serious memory problems. Yeah. But kind of the average run-of-the-mill memory problem that we encounter every day, you know, forgetting where we put our car keys, often it's just because we haven't really focused in the moment when we're putting our car keys down. And that is, you know, why we can't remember. It was never really on our radar screen. We didn't really commit it to memory.
You know, we noticed that you tweeted just yesterday an article that had to do with how we can just make some simple lifestyle changes and we can decrease our risk of Alzheimer's disease or dementia. Are there things that we should do to reduce our risk?
Absolutely, and that's what's so exciting to me. It's this growing body of evidence that the way we live our lives, the lifestyle choices we make, have a huge impact on our risk of Alzheimer's disease. You know, it's not all about genes, and we actually know that from twin studies where, you know, one twin will develop Alzheimer's disease and the other doesn't. You know, where one will develop it at a younger age and the other one won't develop it till 10, 20 years later. And so this tells us that there are other factors playing a role, and those factors are the lifestyle choices we make. There are a number of what we call modifiable risk factors for Alzheimer's disease that, you know, are within our power to control. So, you know, some of the most common ones are physical inactivity. That's actually the number one risk factor, modifiable risk factor in the United States.
So let's take a call from Bill in Milwaukee. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning to your guest. I love this subject because now that the United States has the largest body of senior citizens in our history, brain elasticity and respect for wisdom is a very big deal. I've heard that that actually memory as we get older is like comparing a corner bookstore to the Library of Congress. We have so much that we've learned and so much that we remember that I think brain elasticity becomes a use it or lose it issue. I'm wondering if your guest has seen a difference between memory, which I learned is the storage of knowledge, as opposed to retention, which is the access to knowledge. And if there is a difference, in some way we can cultivate it.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Doctor, is there a difference between the memory and retention?
Mm-hmm. So in order to remember something, it first has to come on your radar screen. You have to be aware of it. And then from there, it goes into what we call short-term memory, which stores information, you know, in just very over the recent period of time. And then from there, it can go to long-term memory. And what usually makes it go to long-term memory is repetition over time. So it's really important to be aware in the moment and attentive to something in order to remember it, you know. And we have so much information coming at us every second that we can't possibly commit all of that to short-term memory and then long-term memory. So we make choices, and those choices depend on what grabs our attention or what we consciously focus on to make it a long-term memory. Things that are important to us, that are meaningful to us, we're much more apt to remember those things.
You mentioned already that one of the biggest things we can do is to get adequate physical activity and exercise, because you exercise your brain too when you're working out. I get that. What about? I seem to remember more or function much better anyway if I get a good night's sleep. How important is sleep to our memory?
Oh, sleep is tremendously important, and probably the reason for that is that memories are actually processed while we sleep. So during the night, while we're sleeping, our brain is actually processing the information that we've encountered during the day and making it into memories. And it's there's some really fascinating studies, for example, which show that if you learn a motor skill during the day and then sleep on it overnight, you'll actually be able to perform it better the next day without any intervening practice. Where if you don't get a good night's sleep, you won't be able to play it as well, to perform that motor mm-hmm. function as well. And so that's why when my children were young, I used to tell them to get to bed early so they'll remember what they learned in school that day. And when I see patients in the office who are having memory problems, I always ask about sleep, because we know that there are many sleep disorders that people may not be aware of that can definitely affect their memory.
We are talking with Dr. Marie Pasinski. She is a Harvard Medical School neurologist, and she is author of Boost Your Brain Power. You can improve and energize your brain at any age. We'll take more calls for her in just a few minutes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We've been enjoying our conversation with Dr. Marie Pasinski. She is author of Boost Your Brain Power. You can improve and energize your brain at any age. We'll get back to our conversation in just a few minutes, but first it's time to ask for your support of the programs you enjoy. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. We are asking you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now and make a gift in support of the programs you count on.
Last hour, the goal was 40 pledges, and we heard from 52 of you.
Yay.
So thank you so much for those pledges. We really appreciate it. And this hour now, we're looking at a goal of 75 pledges. So a little loftier goal, but make your pledge now, and we'll be able to make that, I'm sure. These hourly goals are extremely important, by the way. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Take a moment right now and give. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added incentive to make your pledge, you can get a copy of this book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Boost Your Brain Power, when you pledge $120. You can ask for it now when you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we pay for things that are important to us. Think about what you spend money on, and then think about Wisconsin Public Radio. When you think about it, WPR is really quite important as well.
Life wouldn't be as good without Wisconsin Public Radio. Besides, WPR is important to you. You listen to it every day, you count on it, so why not invest in it? Support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, this is Melissa Block with NPR News. Ever toss change in the tip jar at the coffee shop or the deli? Then think about that as a model for supporting public radio. Consider, if you throw just a quarter in the tip jar every day you buy coffee, then you'd be spending $1.25 a week on tips. That's more than $60 a year. You don't think twice about tossing in those coins. And exactly how was the service? Sometimes good, sometimes not. Well, for the same $60, you can help keep all of your favorite programs on the air. And you don't even have to give it all at once. Simply sign up as a monthly sustainer. $5 will be charged to your credit card each month for as long as you'd like. It's like having a public radio tip jar, only you know that the money going into it is for a great radio service. Here's how to sign up.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins. We are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Will you chip in to the jar, the tip jar? Maybe your gift's $50, or maybe it's $100, maybe it's $500. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know you care about state, regional, and world events. Well, at WPR and on the Joy Cardine Show, you get all that information and also some commentary and suggested reading.
You will get news and information, also programs that clear your mind or entertain you, or programs that have really great practical advice, too. We're getting some of that this hour on how we can improve our brains, how we can boost our brain power. Boy, what's more important than that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we're talking about not only boosting your memory, but triggering your creative juices, reducing your risk of Alzheimer's, and it's a lot of personal motivating stories in here to help you accomplish those things as well. So, boost your brain power, we're talking about here.
And you can get this book. It's the Chicken Soup for the Soul Boost Your Brain Power book for a pledge of $120 or more, $10 a month or more, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to WPR because we inform, entertain, and encourage discussion, and we create a sense of community. You make Wisconsin a better place by listening and being part of being a more informed person.
You're a listener, but we are asking you to become a member. Your donation of any amount makes you a member. It makes Wisconsin a better place by making great radio available to everyone. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio works on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it, but think about what you would pay if you had to. Would you pay $5 a month or $10? How about $1 a day?
Well, you decide the amount. If you decide on $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, we will send you, if you would like it, a copy of Boost Your Brain Power. And you'll find out all sorts of ways to improve and energize your brain at any age. It's described as a great guide to powering up your brain, and it's filled with a number of motivational stories, too. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 71 pledges by 9 o'clock to reach our goal of 75, and you can help make that happen at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Jeff in Prairie du Sac, who says he appreciates the unbiased interviewing by yours truly. He says that my questions are on target but not leading. Well, that's what I try to do. Thanks very much, Jeff. Won't you join Jeff at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your pledge in support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And don't forget, for your pledge of $120 or more, you can get a copy of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Boost Your Brain Power. Again, that's yours for a pledge of $120. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks very much, Bill. We'll talk to you later. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Dr. Marie Pasinski, author of Boost Your Brain Power. You can improve and energize your brain at any age. She is a Harvard Medical School neurologist, a writer, and a speaker. If you'd like to speak with her, if you have a question, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. Well, Dr. Pasinski, we were talking about one thing that we can do to better our brains is to get a good night's sleep every night, and we talked also a little bit about more physical activities. What are some other lifestyle changes that we might make to increase our brain power?
Well, there are a number of them, but one of the things I wanted to mention is one of the reasons that exercise is so good for the brain and sleep is that it actually promotes the birth of new neurons and the formation of new synapses. And this is what's so wonderful about our brain is that we have this ability to make new neurons and new connections throughout our lives. And there are things that we do that can enhance that process and boost that process. And one of the most important ones is exercise. I'd like to spend a little bit more time on that. What happens when you exercise is there's a release of these growth factors. One is called BDNF, and one of my colleagues at Harvard actually calls that miracle growth for the brain. And that's exactly what it does. It actually promotes the birth of new neurons, and we know that people who exercise regularly are cognitively sharper, and they have larger brains, which is just really exciting. There are actually studies showing that by performing regular exercise, you can increase brain volume.
Well, that's good to know. Do I have to be running a marathon, though, or what kind of physical activity am I supposed to do?
No, even simply walking, just getting your heart rate up. There was an interesting study where they took a group of people, 65 and older, and they put them in this walking program, and they performed MRIs of their brains at the beginning of the study and then 6 months later. And they walked for 1 hour three times a week. And at the end of 6 months, there was a visible increase in the thickness of the cortex of their brain. And it's a part of the brain that is important for decision-making and problem-solving. And one of the most important parts of the brain, you know, that we need as we get older, it's part of the brain very vulnerable to Alzheimer's disease and aging. And so it's just so important to get regular exercise to keep your brain healthy.
Is my yoga class that I take a few times a week, it has a little bit of physical activity, but also a little bit of a meditative quality, is that good for my brain?
That's wonderful for your brain because it promotes lower cortisol levels. It helps you to relax, and we know that that's really important for brain health. Having a high cortisol level, which we often see when people are stressed and anxious, actually isn't good for the brain. It's actually toxic to memory neurons, the neurons in the hippocampus, which is the memory center of the brain. And so activities that reduce stress and help you relax are really terrific.
Talk a little bit about what kind of diet we should follow. What diet is best for our brains?
So diet is really important. The best diet for the brain is a Mediterranean-style diet. And we think one of the reasons this is because of the type of fats in a Mediterranean-style diet. Our brain is actually two-thirds fat. And so the fats in our diet literally become the building blocks of the brain. And one of the most important fats for your brain are omega-3s. These truly are the closest thing there is to a miracle nutrient for the brain. And your body can't make omega-3s, so the only way you can get them is through your diet. And a Mediterranean diet is naturally rich in omega-3s because it often includes fish. I usually recommend people to have fish a couple times a week. And for those who, you know, can eat fish and get the omega-3s that way, there are other sources such as tofu, walnuts, flaxseed, avocados, and actually hummus too is very rich in omega-3s.
We are talking with Dr. Marie Pasinski. She is with the Harvard Medical School. She is author of Boost Your Brain Power. You can improve and energize your brain at any age. And I made a mistake earlier when I was asking you for a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. I thought that this was a pledge for $10 a month. Turns out for a $100 pledge, you can get this book as your thank you gift. So I want to correct myself. It's a $100 pledge if you would like this book as your thank you gift for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Dr. Pasinski, besides giving us tips on how we can boost our brain power, this book does have a number of motivational stories. Why?
Well, I think they provide inspiration, and I think it's so reassuring for people to know that other people have the same experiences or concerns. But one of my favorite stories is by a woman who was convinced she was developing Alzheimer's disease. She was having memory problems, forgetting things, and she was worried. Fortunately, she went to see her physician, and as it turned out, she had vitamin B12 deficiency. And once that was repleted, her memory was fine. It was back to normal. And I think that's such an important message for people to realize that there are many factors and numerous medical conditions that affect our ability to remember. So if someone is having problems with their memory that they feel is beyond normal, or if they have any concerns, it's just a great idea to see your doctor, because you may well have something very treatable and completely reversible.
Well, that's promising. Talk a little bit about listening to Wisconsin Public Radio or any public radio station, or reading a book, or doing something that is intellectually stimulating. How important is that to our brain's health?
It's extremely important. And that is because learning physically changes your brain. When you learn new information and you think in new ways, you're making new connections in your brain, you're setting up new neural pathways. And remember I talked about BDNF, that Miracle-Grow growth mm-hmm. hormone. That actually is released when you're learning new information. And again, it promotes the birth of new neurons and the strengthening of connections in the brain. And so it's very important to stay mentally active and challenge your brain throughout your life. And again, I like people to think about, you know, think about when you were young and you were constantly immersing your brain with new experiences, new information, going new places, meeting new people. And all of that is wonderful for your brain. And unfortunately, as we get older, we often kind of get stuck in a rut. We solve the same kind of problems, do things in the same way, spend our free time often in the same way, and we're not tapping into all the possible opportunities and ways we could stimulate our brain. You know, so I really encourage people to, you know, listen to shows like this where they're learning new information, they're making new connections in their brain, and things have a way of snowballing. New information does. You know, when you learn something new, that might trigger an interesting conversation with a friend, and then you'll learn more new things. And over time, learning becomes a habit. And when that happens, you actually are constantly transforming and updating the infrastructure of your brain, and that keeps you sharp and keeps your brain healthy.
Let's take a call from Linda in Milwaukee. Thanks for waiting, Linda. What's on your mind, so to speak?
Well, I was going to mention that earlier you were speaking to the benefits of sleep in solving problems and memory. And it's interesting because what I find is when I have a particularly vexing problem professionally or personally that I'm trying to find, there's a solution to it. I can't quite come before I go to bed. And I
Oh, I'm so sorry. Darn it all, that always happens. So anyway, she's saying that I guess in essence that sleep helps her prepare for problems at work.
Mm-hmm. I find the same thing, that a lot of my best ideas come to me after a good night's sleep, or sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night. And often it's a common experience too to have a problem. You sleep on it, and then you come up with a solution. And it we believe that's because our brain is kind of processing all the information from the day, kind of reorganizing it, and that somehow that promotes solutions to our problems. It's really pretty amazing. I find sleep fascinating. That, you know, all these things happen during sleep. And one of the other interesting things that I didn't mention was when you learn something new and then you sleep on it, the representation in the brain actually changes overnight. We know this from functional MRI studies, where we can tell what part of the brain serves a different specific function. And so if you say learn a motor task during the day, and we do an MRI and we see what part of the brain lights up, and then we repeat the MRI after a night's sleep, the information is actually kind of changed location and reorganized. So it's a lot happens during sleep.
We are talking with Dr. Marie Pasinski. She is the author of Boost Your Brain Power. You can improve and energize your brain at any age. And that's what we're talking about. We're welcoming your questions for her and perhaps your own brain boosting activities. We will get back to our conversation and share some more information and advice, take more of your calls. But first, a reminder that this is our fall membership drive. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and we are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And, Bill, I mistakenly said earlier that it was a $120 pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio that was required before we would send the book, Boost Your Brain Power. That's wrong. It's $100.
$100. $100 for a copy of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Boost Your Brain Power. It can be yours if you make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're looking for 56 more pledges in about the next 20 minutes or so. 56 pledges by 9 o'clock. Thank you if you've already made that pledge. If not, take care of that now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you found yourself thinking about something in a new way after you've heard one of our shows. That's the beauty of the Ideas Network. You hear a wide variety of topics and multiple points of view. You value what you hear on the Ideas Network. Now, pledge your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, for your pledge of $100, ask for a copy of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Boost Your Brain Power. And your pledge will also help support the programs you love here on Wisconsin Public Radio. So make that pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I enjoy your programs. What I enjoy most about it is, you know, I'm born in Milwaukee, you have an urban point of view of things. When I listen to your callers calling throughout the states, I have all kinds of points of view from a rural, farm, you name it. I just like to hear the points of view through the state, and I enjoy and I learn from the other callers.
You can make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, reminding you that we have a goal of 75 pledges during this hour, 56 pledges needed in order to make that goal, and 19 minutes to do it. Bill Martins, it is doable.
It is doable. It's not easy, but it can be done if those of you who have not made a pledge yet take advantage of this time right now to go ahead and do so. Again, looking for 56 more pledges. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And for your gift of $100, don't forget to ask for your copy of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Boost Your Brain Power.
That's for a pledge of $100. You are boosting your brain power right now by listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. You learn something new every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, and keeping your brain stimulated is a way to improve and energize your brain, as you will find out in the book, Boost Your Brain Power. We also talked about the importance of sleep. We've talked about the function of memory and mm-hmm. how we can improve our memory. Talked about diet and the importance of diet in boosting our brain power. So all sorts of valuable information and motivational stories are included in this book, this thank you gift for your $100 pledge, Boost Your Brain Power, by a Harvard Medical School neurologist, Dr. Marie Pasinski. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help us reach that goal of 75 pledges by 9 o'clock. We're looking for 56 more of you to go ahead and make that pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks, Bill. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Dr. Marie Pasinski, author of Boost Your Brain Power. Do you have any questions about your brain health? Do you have any of your own tips? What do you do to stay sharp? 1-800-642-1234 is our call-in number. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. And let's go to the phones. Pam in Marshall is with us next. Hello, Pam.
Hi. Nice to talk with you. Nice show. Just wanted to let you know that I'm 62, and about 5 years ago, my family even noticed that I was having problems with memory. I would look at a banana, and I couldn't think of what the name of it was. And I was very, very concerned that I might have early Alzheimer's or dementia, and I went for an eight-hour testing. The doctor asked me a lot of questions about what I did for my jobs and so forth, and what I do is I ask the same questions 10 hours a day. And he said I needed to do something on the other side of my brain, which is funny. I don't remember which side it was. But he told me to do something that was artistic. And I actually am not artistic in any way, but I do put together jigsaw puzzles now. And I've noticed a remarkable difference in my memory.
Wow. What explains that, do you think, Dr. Pasinski?
Again, she's using her brain in new ways. That's a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, and I think it, again, shows that we often kind of get stuck in a rut as we get older, kind of using our brain in the same way. And that's not good for our brain. Our brain loves to do new things and to have challenges. And so by doing the jigsaw puzzles, she was using the visual parts of her brain, the spatial skills that she probably hadn't been using in a while. And by doing that, it energizes the brain. And it's, you know, often as she said, she's noticed an improvement in her memory.
Yes.
And it is so true. If you don't use it, we do lose it.
Let's go next to Teresa in Aston.
Hi. I've done a lot of things to help my memory, but one thing that I've noticed, my daughters have, I make them learn music from a lot of different generations because I said I don't want you just not able to talk to anyone about the music they like. And one of my daughters several years back said, well, that's true, but you don't know our music. And I think she wasn't really counting on the fact that I would start really paying attention. But I have made it a real point of getting to understand the music that is now and today for two reasons. First of all, it does help my memory. Secondly, if I don't like a group or I don't like a song, it is not on principle. It's because I listen to it.
Very good.
It has helped my memory. And I use being a responsible citizen in whatever community you find yourself in enough that I've had school teachers call and ask me what the heck I'm talking about because it keeps showing up in papers. But you cannot remain ignorant if you remain interested. The only way ignorance can live is if you stop being interested in the world around you.
Thank you very much, Teresa. I hope that what she is doing is, in terms of learning today's music, is helping her brain, because I'm trying the same thing. I felt like I was really really out of the loop, and that's one of my goals is to try to expose myself to new music and different genres of music. Is that helping our brains, Dr. Pacinski?
Absolutely, and that's the beauty of learning new things. You know, it doesn't have to be something traditional like taking a course or a class. Any time you're thinking in a new way, using a different part of your brain, that's terrific for your brain. See, every part of the brain serves a different function. And as we get older, we often tend to just rely on the same parts of our brain. We just use those parts, and we don't take advantage of all the other areas. So the woman who started the jigsaw puzzles was using different skills, using a different part of her brain. By listening to music, and especially music that you're not familiar with, you have to pay attention to that more. You're stimulating the parts of your brain where auditory processing takes place, and it's all terrific for the brain.
Another caller from Tony in Hebron is with us. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, ladies. I'm a 56-year-old male who I think the older I get, the better my memory is getting, both short-term and long-term. And I've always had a good memory, but what I think enhances my memory is I've been blessed with the gift of visualization. And in my profession, it's important that I'm able to paint a picture in my mind of what typically it's on the phone, a caller is describing to me. And in that description, I actually lose the visual that I have while I'm on the phone, and I get visual of their description. And my question is visualization another enhancement for memory?
Absolutely. The more senses you can bring into remembering something, that will make it stronger. And one of our strongest senses is our vision. And in fact, in my book, I talk about using visualization techniques. It's something I have done to help my memory. I started using visualization when I was, say, a student, and I was waiting on table, and I would kind of visualize what people were ordering rather than jotting it down and challenging my memory that way. But there are a number of wonderful books written on visualization techniques. And again, I think that's a fun thing for someone who's having memory problems to try. Mm-hmm. They'll be exercising their memory in a new way, and they will find that will help.
You also talk about in the book our mind's inner voice. How can we make our inner voice more positive?
So every time you think a thought, you're stimulating a very specific circuit of neurons. And the more you think along that pathway, it becomes stronger. And so that's how habits are formed, both good habits and bad habits. So if you have negative thoughts and you're thinking along maybe these worry pathways, you know, you're worried about something and you just keep thinking along that same pathway, that same thought keeps cycling in your mind, the more you think along that pathway, the stronger it becomes. But that's not a good thing when they're negative thoughts, but the good news is that we can change the way we think. And in the process, we actually can restructure our brain. That's what cognitive behavioral therapy is all about. So it's about recognizing negative thoughts and refusing to think them, just kind of stopping them in their tracks, and instead start thinking along a positive pathway. And over time, as you force yourself to think along that positive pathway, that actually becomes stronger over time. And then automatically, you'll start thinking along that positive pathway instead of the negative pathway.
And finally, you talk about labels in the book, and you say, don't accept labels. Why is this important to our brain's health?
It's important to realize that the human brain has so many capabilities. I think too often we judge ourselves on kind of traditional IQ, you know, our verbal skills, our mathematical skills, and human intelligence is so much more than that. Howard Gardner is a psychologist at Harvard who came up with this theory of multiple intelligences, which I just love. And he talks about the intelligence of musicality, you know, of understanding music, creating music, even just listening and appreciating to music, the intelligence of movement, artistic intelligence, the intelligence of self-knowledge, the intelligence of interacting with other people, interpersonal intelligence. And I think too often we don't appreciate how wonderful, you know, these forms of intelligence are, and we really should celebrate them.
Well,
and that's kind of what that chapter's all about.
I really appreciate your time today. I think we've all learned a lot about our brains and what we can do to boost our brains. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Dr. Marie Pasinski, author of Boost Your Brain Power. You can improve and energize your brain at any age. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and I am going to think positively, Bill Martins, that we're going to reach our goal for this, the last 5 minutes of this hour of the pledge drive for us today.
Well, there you go. 40 more pledges we're looking for in these next 6 minutes. It's a lofty goal, but, you know, we've been doing these pledge drives for a while. We've seen these tall orders come through for us before. Think positively, everyone. We can still do this, but it's going to require you to act now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make that pledge of support.
I certainly enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Pasinski, and I learned a lot on how to help improve my brain, to make my brain healthier during this hour. Now, your pledge will help pay for programs like this, for conversations like this, and it'll help keep Wisconsin Public Radio financially healthy. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make your pledge.
And don't forget, if you make that pledge of $100, ask for your copy of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Boost Your Brain Power. The fabulous book that we've been talking about all hour long can be yours for a gift of $100. We're looking for 39 more of you to do that in the next 5 minutes. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, thanks to Jessica from Onalaska, who says, I love Wisconsin Public Radio because you offer a variety of shows that are thought-provoking, humorous, and so enjoyable. I am hooked for life. It's a good addiction, Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
WPR.org to help pay for programs that are thought-provoking, humorous, and so enjoyable, or call 888-202-2552.
Eric from Madison says, I depend on Wisconsin Public Radio programming as part of my daily routine. Well, Eric, I know you're not alone out there. A lot of you listening depend on Wisconsin Public Radio, and make a pledge of support to reflect that dependence, if you will. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about how often you tune to Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe it is every day. Maybe it's on the way to work or the way home from work or over the lunch hour. And then you probably listen more on the weekends.
Yeah, and it's an important part of your life. Your day would probably be better. It would be different. Worse if you couldn't catch your favorite program. Make your contribution to keep this station that you rely on strong at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can get this wonderful thank you gift for your pledge of $100. And this is the thank you gift good for the next few minutes. It is the book we talked about all hour long, Boost Your Brain Power, How You Can Improve and Energize Your Brain at Any Age. $100 pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. That's $100 a year or more. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 38 more pledges in these next couple of minutes here to reach that goal of 75 for this hour. And don't forget, to ask for your copy of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Boost Your Brain Power, when you make that pledge of $100 or more. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might wonder, what are you talking about? What is making a pledge? Well, a pledge is a promise. We pledge to bring you great shows every day. You pledge to support them with a contribution in any amount.
When you help pay the cost of the station, we'll make sure there's something interesting for you to listen to. That's our pledge. Now, make yours. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Boy, you can continue pledging through the news. Pledge any amount. You decide how much. Maybe your pledge is $50 a year. Maybe it's $500 a year. Maybe it's the $100 pledge, which is what we are asking for to send you the book, Boost Your Brain Power. You will boost our spirits, too, with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Now looking at 36 of you to make that pledge in the next couple of minutes or so. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks. If you've made your pledge, still time for you to make yours now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine.